Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruth E.C.
This hour is presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here about. It's all about winning with Mainstay. Welcome. I'm your host, Anna Lee Leonard. Bob and I are here today to talk to you about some what I consider very, very important things. So if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you want to text us, if you want to call in, call us now, 437-1620. I would love to hear from you. That puts a really big smile on my face when we get to hear from you. I know, you probably thought I had run away. I wasn't here for 2 weeks, but I am back. Bob thought I was going to let him just run amok, but, I had to come back and take care of you, Bob.
That's right. That's right. Keep me in line.
And who's going to keep me in line? That's the question.
Well, that's my job.
That's your job, my friend. That is your job. So we want to talk to you today about some really important things, but I want to start off with something that came out this morning. And I want you to kind of, those of you who have either annuities, life policies with some of the companies I am going to name, you may want to call us and get a second opinion on those. Fitch, F-I-T-C-H, is one of the companies that does ratings on insurance companies, and they rate them according to their size, the type of service they have. But one of the main things they rate them on is their solvency. In other words, are they able to pay the debts they may have? If people die or if people claim annuities, can they pay them that money plus the interest they've earned? All those good things. But Fitch, as of today, has removed their rating from Aegon, A-E-G-O-N, Aegon NV, and all of its related entities. So that's Aegon Funding, Scottish Equitable, Transamerica Life Insurance Company, Transamerica Financial, Transamerica Premier Life Insurance Company, and Aegon Bank. So to give you an idea of this, how this happened, in July of this year, they had all of those companies had an A-plus rating with a negative outlook. That was July 20th. July 23rd, they were reduced to an A-minus with an outlook negative. May 20th, they went on to revise that outlook to negative on coronavirus risk and affirm the rating. And as of today, they took the rating away entirely. Huh. So that's just a bit that came out just this morning, Bob. Actually, after you left the office, I got this in one of my email blasts that I get. So it's just good info, and it's something good for you to know about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you've got any of those companies and you want a second opinion, you want to review what you've got, call the office at 437-3127. Tell Kristen what you have and you want to set up a time to talk with Bob or I, or just do a review and let us see what you've got. Okay. So Bob, I think what we need to do is take up what you were doing last week while I was off gallivanting. What a trip. Anyway, you were starting to talk about some things on how to pick an advisor. And of course, last week we were again going through the whole thing of storms going on. So you didn't get to do everything. So let's kind of go back to where you were and what you were talking about, if we could.
Sure. We were a week ago today. Of course, we had Hurricane Delta passing through.
Yes.
And we were preempted quite a bit. So what we'd like to do is pick up with that. And the topic was and is today how to choose a financial advisor or an investment advisor, mm-hmm. and what sort of criteria to look for in that search. And what we did was we culled, several articles from, very reputable sources, Forbes. There's a great resource out there called Nerd Wallet. Another one is Smart Asset. You got to finish that word. And then and then there was one other, and it escapes me right now, but all great resources. And do you know, Annalee, what the number one with all of these resources in terms of searching for a financial advisor? What is the first and foremost criteria?
Well, I know what's most important to me and why years ago I took my career and headed it in that direction. And you have now done the same. To me, the most important thing a person can look for and question they should ask, I would think, is, are you a fiduciary?
That is correct.
And let's kind of explain what that means, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also wanted to add that not only do they list it first, but they say all of these articles, and I have the Forbes in front of me, the answer should be yes, as to the question, are you a fiduciary? It goes on to say, this is the most important question by far. And it is. Let's definitely talk about fiduciary, what exactly a fiduciary is and how they operate in a different manner. And I thought, the very first thing to do would be to define fiduciary. Mm-hmm. And this is how the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, defines fiduciary. It is the special relationship of trust and confidence an advisor has with his or her clients, period. As fiduciaries, investment advisors have an overarching duty to act in the client's best interests, as well as the affirmative duties of care, honesty, and loyalty, period. So that is the definition.
And the thing is, it's always you want the person who's going to be working with you with your money, to kind of put it in plain English, to put your interest above theirs and eliminate conflicts of interest. So what you want to do is get away from that temptation that an advisor may have that says, oh, if I put you in this fund, I'm going to make a bigger back in commission than if I put you in this fund.
Right.
So for us, the type of fund that a person goes in is judged by the quality of that fund and the risk profile of the person, not any type of back in fee, because we have a flat fee that we're paid. Right. You do better, we do better. You don't do well, we don't do well.
Right.
So there's definitely an incentive on both sides to do what's best. I mean, and to me, that's it's like when you go to a doctor, this is why they stopped a lot of the incentives that were being given to doctors by the drug companies, so that a doctor isn't prescribing a certain drug to go on a trip to wherever.
Right.
They're prescribing it because it's a good drug.
Right.
Well, the same thing with the fiduciary and non-fiduciary.
Right. And that is the only, and I think we're really talking about, at least right now, is fees. And the fee structure needs to be aligned with the interests of the client. And, mm-hmm. you know, it used to be, you know, you would choose these investments and time would pass. 6 months later, you meet with the client. Oh, well, these performed well, but these didn't. And guess what would happen in the transaction of moving those investments out of what they were in into something else? You would pay a commission. You would pay transaction mm-hmm. costs. And mm-hmm. there should be no fee that you pay that is based on the activity, whether it's necessary or unnecessary, in the account.
Right. And the fiduciary is not paid on that.
Right.
So you don't get those phone calls that says, oh, we got to buy this week. We got to sell that this week. If movement occurs, it occurs for one of two reasons, either to rebalance a portfolio mm-hmm. or to get a person out of something that has become too volatile
exactly.
for them.
But again, there's no fee for that transaction.
Not to the fiduciary. Okay. Now, there used to be, until the custodians started their own little war between themselves, there used to be a small custodial fee, but that went to the custodian, not to the advisor. And now the custodians don't charge a fee at all. So it's like the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Winning with Mainstay with Annalee and Bob, and we're talking about if you're looking for an advisor, questions you should ask, and the answers that you should be looking for.
Right.
So our first one is, are you a fiduciary? That's just a pretty straightforward question.
And Annalee, okay? I believe we have a question. We have a caller. So,
good.
Ruthie's going to present that question.
We do, and that's a perfect segue. Thank you, Annalee. This person wants to know, is there a way someone proves they are a fiduciary?
Yes, there's a form that should be given to clients. It's called an ADV form. And that form you can also find on the website, the SEC website for a person, and that will list your credentials as to what licenses you have, who holds your licenses, if you do insurance products, all that is readily available. So, you know, when clients come in with us, we give them our own ADV form. Bob has his, I have mine. We also have one we present for Alpha Star Capital Management, who is in Cornelius, North Carolina. They hold Bob and I's license.
Mm-hmm.
So that's public knowledge.
And they name your registered investment advisor, and that, of course, is Alpha Star in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And then also who you work with on the custodial side. And
yes.
that's another important thing. I have run into folks who had a bad experience with a custodian maybe 10 years ago, and they just mm-hmm. under no circumstances want to use that custodian. So, you know, it's something you want to find out about.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes and people have got to understand this. If you have your own account and you are managing yourself and you've used, let's just take Schwab for a custodian, and you've had a bad experience, that doesn't mean the custodian is bad.
Right.
Because when you're working with an advisor, the custodian has no right to do anything without instructions from the advisor.
Right.
So you're dealing with a totally different yeah. picture.
Yeah.
They
are order takers, and they, mm-hmm. yeah, they, you know, they are the custodian, and they act on behalf of the RIA and the investment advisor.
That's correct. And I always tell people you have got to have a custodian. That prevents things like the Bernie Madoffs from happening. Because if you remember and go back, people were foolish enough to write checks to Bernie Madoff. So he was putting stuff in his own account, okay? And I tell people all the time, do not ever bring cash into this office. Don't ever write a check to me. You make me break out in cold sweats when you do that. Right. You make the check out to the custodian, because that custodian legally has an obligation to protect your money so that Bob can't reach in and get your money. I can't reach in and get your money. It can only be dispensed to you, and it will dispense the management fees once a quarter, but that goes directly to Alpha Star. They take their share, the sub managers take their share, and then Bob and I get our little share.
Right.
So it's you want that to happen. You have got to have a custodian.
Right. And we are getting way down in the weeds with this, but it's important because we have clients who will ask, who is the custodian? Who is the registered investment advisor? We tell them, and there are these entities, but you mentioned Bernie Madoff and some of these things that have happened. They're just they're tragic. If anyone has seen the documentary on that, the suicides and it's just gut wrenching. I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
Everything that happened. Nevertheless, the reason that happened, there were no checks and balances. It was all
correct.
It was all a very close circle of people that had their hands on the money and falsifying statements and so on and so forth. But when you have the different entities, you remove the probability, but you remove the possibility of that happening. It's just not going to happen, right?
That's correct. So, good questions to ask. So let's go on to the next one, Bob. What was the next question?
Well, the next question is, and we've kind of touched on it already, is you need to ask your prospective investment or financial advisor how they get paid. How
correct.
Are you paid? And they better be looking you in the eye, right, Annalie?
Mm-hmm. And I tell people about that in our classes that I teach. And by the way, I am teaching a class in Milton this Thursday night from 5:30 to 7:30. We do have the ability to do that class virtually. Also, if you want to do it, this is Pensacola State College. So if you want to register for that class, call us at the office and we'll help get you through that, get to the college, because we can still fit you in. We're trying to limit the number of people actually in the classroom, but it's a very good class, and it's 4 hours this Thursday, next Thursday. And one of the things that I tell people to do is when you're interviewing somebody or your present advisor, sit down, look them straight in the eye, and say to them, how do you get paid? Now, they should be able to look you right in the eye and answer that question very simply. If they hem, they haw, they say, oh, this happens, that happens, get up and walk out.
Right.
That, I don't know about you, Bob, but I have never walked into a car dealership, looked at a car without looking at the price tag on it. We don't do that. We don't walk in and say, oh yeah, take that one, go wrap it up, now tell me what it cost.
Right, exactly.
But people do it with their money all the time.
Right. And Annalie, I think it's so important how you frame that question. And the question is, again, quote this question and how to frame it again during the show, but ask them how they get paid. Do not ask them, how much are you going to charge me? And we've talked about this. I'll never forget, we have through our travels sat with people where, and I remember when I was, a young man in this business, and the gentleman who was, sort of my mentor at the time, it was asked the question, by the client, how much are you going to charge me? He said, I'm not going to charge you a penny. And I was like, wow, did he just say that? But that was true. And he went on to explain, I'm not going to charge you a penny. And that's true again, but who's going to pay him? the funds that he goes, that the client goes into, the annuity companies, that, you know, the products. And this is back in the day. This is the way it worked. And it still works like that to some extent, and it at some investment shops. But anyway, great question. How do you get paid?
Right. So if it is a fiduciary, if you're dealing with a fiduciary should be able to tell you exactly what the fee is, exactly how it comes out, when it comes out, where to find it on your statement, where to find it on the internet sites that you were given to check on your account. It should all be right there and be totally revealed so that you know, okay, this is what Annalee made. Now, the way the fiduciary is set up, the better you do, the better we do. Not that we up our fee, it's the same fee. But if you're making more, then we're getting paid a little bit more.
Right.
If you make less, we get paid less. So it's a fair situation that way, and not something where we can just sit back and let your accounts do whatever, and it doesn't affect our pocketbook. It directly affects us. So you've got that desire for the client to win that is personified even more. And that's what you really want. You want to know where fees come from.
Right.
And if somebody does an insurance product, well, how do they get paid from that? Does that come out of your money? Does that come from the insurance company? Is that in conflict with what you're doing over here? That all should be able to be explained very, very clearly.
Right. And you gave the great example of, going to a car dealership and, do you go on there? Do you go on to the car lot without looking at the price? Well, you know, in the world of, hiring an investment advisor and what we call, the broker, a broker by definition is somebody that puts together a buyer and a seller and is typically paid a commission. For the transaction. And, so we have brokers in this world. We have people that are paid based on the transaction. They're on car lots. Real estate agents, real estate brokers. And, the example you used, would you go onto the car lot and hand the car salesman your money and say, pick me out a car? Would you hand the real estate broker your money and say, go pick me out a house? Now, I've heard that's happened, but no, you wouldn't do that. And so that's why you really want to make sure what you're paying for is aligned, that the interests of your advisor are aligned with you as the client.
And, one should always fit in with the other. The aspect of being the fiduciary has a lot to do with how we invest your money, because it's based upon you, not us. Because I noticed one of the questions on these surveys is, what's your investment philosophy? Well, I can pretty well tell you mine. I mean, what's yours, Bob?
Our investment philosophy begins with the needs and the objectives of the client. And the first thing we do is have them complete a detailed risk assessment, risk evaluation form.
Exactly.
And you really can't proceed without doing a few things, and that is one of the first things we do. There are other things. I mean, every investment, you need to look at really three things: the risk, the return, the projected return, of course, and of course the liquidity. How important is it for you to be able to get your hands on this money going forward, within the next 12 months? There are so many factors, but you begin with the risk profile.
That always is the biggie. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to remind you, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Winning with Mainstay with Annalee and Bob. Think about when we go to the news, think about questions that you may have. And text us or call us, 437-1620. And we're going to go see what's going on in the world. And hopefully we got some good stuff.
Early voting starts next week. We'll have the latest on the locations across the area coming up after Fox News.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett has expressed anti-abortion views and co-signed statements in the past. At her confirmation hearing, she won't say whether she supports particular Supreme Court rulings protecting abortion rights.
If I express a view on a precedent one way or another, whether I say I love it or I hate it, it signals to litigants that I might tilt one way or another in a pending case.
Each member of the Senate Judiciary Committee gets a half hour of questioning over today and tomorrow. A coronavirus vaccine trial is on hold over a patient's illness.
Johnson & Johnson isn't saying much about the patient's illness, but it has paused its coronavirus vaccine trial while they try to figure out if it's related to the shot. Final stage testing of a drug made by AstraZeneca and Oxford University is also on hold in the U.S. as health officials investigate neurological symptoms in a patient taking part in that trial.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
It's 10:31 at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. It's 83 and mostly sunny. I'm Mark Jacobs. There'll be 10 locations in Escambia County, 6 in Santa Rosa County when early voting starts next week. Each location will be open from 7 till 7 through Saturday, October 31st. Voters can also cast their ballots by mail or show up in person on Election Day. We've got a list of those voting locations on our Facebook page. Early voting doesn't stop hundreds of thousands of other people from already casting their ballots.
The state's Division of Elections reports about 1.7 million vote-by-mail ballots have been returned to local elections offices. The numbers include more than 850,000 Democrats and around 488,000 Republicans. Third-party and independent voters account for more than 331,000 returned ballots. Counties with the most returned vote-by-mail ballots so far are Palm Beach, Broward, and Hillsborough.
That's Rick Hoschel reporting. Now the WEAR weather forecast.
86 degrees behind a very weak cold front. It'll be a little bit drier, plenty of sunshine, no rain chances. And then a big-time fall cold front arrives on Friday that drops highs back into the low to mid-70s and lows into the lower 50s to upper 40s for Saturday and Sunday. For now, though, I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting in the Channel 3 First Warning Weather Center.
It's 83 in Pensacola and Milton, 81 in Gulf Breeze at 10:33. Our next news at 11 with breaking news anytime. I'm Mark Jacobs, News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Stocks are mixed. The Dow Industrial's down 73 at 28,763. The S&P 500 down 8, but the NASDAQ is up 43. Oxford Economics has revised down its global growth forecast for 2021 to 5.2% from 5.4%. Some of the change reflects revisions to GDP in 2020, as the initial bounce in activity after lockdowns was larger than expected. But Oxford Economics is also more conservative about the quarterly rate of growth in 2021. A bad year for struggling retailers such as Macy's and JCPenney could get much worse thanks to Amazon's Prime Day being held in October. Analysts say companies that don't have a vibrant online business are still going to fall further behind. Amazon Prime Day, which started today and goes through tomorrow, is expected to register some $10 billion in worldwide sales this year, and that would mark an impressive 43% year-over-year increase. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, I'm Nathan Cox, founder of Trulin Homes, and we build communities that stay safe and stand tall after the storm. That's why every Trulin home across Baldwin County is built gold fortified. A gold fortified home is built with extra protection, including thoughtful design for windows, doors, and extra support for the roof and walls to help resist wind pressures and debris from hurricanes. We hope you consider a gold fortified Trulin home for your next home buying experience. Visit TrulandHomes.com to learn about our homes and communities. Truland Homes, a home buying experience made for you.
Hi, I'm Chip Simmons, a dedicated law enforcement officer with over 35 years of experience. You know me as a community leader, a Christian, a mentor, a coach, a neighbor, a Medal of Valor recipient, a longtime chief of police, assistant county administrator, and chief deputy. Now is not the time to compromise on qualifications, and certainly not the time to compromise on your safety. Now is the time for greater levels of enforcement and engagement. Now is the time to elect me, Chip Simmons, as sheriff of Escambia County. Our safety depends on it.
Paid political and approved by Chip Simmons, Republican, Escambia County Sheriff.
It's election season. News Radio 92.3 and the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce teaming up to present the Escambia County Sheriff's Candidate Forum Tuesday, October 20th. Candidates Chip Simmons and David Alexander will be in attendance answering questions provided by the Chamber. News Radio's Andrew McKay moderating the discussion. The Escambia County Sheriff's Candidate Forum Tuesday, October 20th at 5:30 from the Fish House, heard live on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Now, more of the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All I do is win, 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 no matter
win.
What.
Got money on my mind. Everybody's hand go up. And they stay there. And they stay there. Ooh, and they stay there, baby. I bet you didn't sing to people while I was gone, Bob.
Oh, how do you know?
I just...
Yeah, if you were listening, you would know.
I know.
You were having too much fun.
Oh, God. I want to remind everybody, please, that I am teaching the survival and retirement class for the next 4 weeks on the 15th and 22nd. I will be at Pensacola State College in the Milton campus. The class takes place 5:30 to 7:30. There is a minimal fee on that class. That goes directly to the college. I do not accept any pay whatsoever from them. I want to support the college because I think what we have is a very good educational facility there, and I want to see it succeed. So the 15th and 22nd, 2 hours each week, 5:30 to 7:30. First 2 hours kind of like what I refer to as the hors d'oeuvre. The second 2 hours in the second week is really your meat and potatoes. And these are things that you have to know if you're going into retirement, preparing for it, just living in it, not necessarily the class for the 40-year-old, but you may learn some things, but a very, very good class for the person who's there. Then on the 29th and the 5th of November, I will be teaching the same class at the main campus of Pensacola State College. So if you want to register, you want more information, call my office at 437-3127 or call the college directly and talk to them, get yourself registered. They'll give you all the finesse on that, but it's a good class, worth your time. You'll learn a lot, I promise you.
Yeah, it's a great it's a great class. And you know, Annalee, one of the things you said that, you know, it's especially strong for folks preparing for retirement, entering retirement. And you know, we have had a number of people, younger people, come through and they've gone with possibly one of their parents. And and it's interesting, you know, these things become more relevant as you approach retirement, or certainly when in retirement. But gosh, you know, the things that you have to prepare for when you get on with your life and, you know, enter, you know, these you know, your late 50s and early 60s, it's amazing. And you know, there's no time like the present to learn it. And and I think that's what's bringing a lot of the younger people there.
Yeah. So, you know, if you were interested in those classes, either give us a call at my office or call Pensacola State College and they will fill you in and give you information. So what we've been kind of talking about today is if you're looking for an advisor, some of the questions to ask. So, you know, the first one was, are you a fiduciary? Second was, how do you get paid? And then we were talking about investment philosophy. And Bob was pretty well summing that up. Our philosophy is what best suits each particular client. So some of my younger clients are very aggressive. They're more interested in growth than anything. They're more willing to stick the neck out. Hmm. Now, as we're finding, as our clients tend to become, I'm going to use the word more mature. Right. That's how I think of myself, you understand, more mature. As they get more mature, you start thinking about, okay, if I'm using this money, what do I have to do? I got to preserve it. I can't afford to take those big risks. Right. So that is how we approach building a portfolio and then build that pyramid according to what's 100% safe, what's a little bit risky, what's a little bit riskier. And then, you know, for our more mature clients, we may have very little that's up at that top echelon. Mm-hmm. For the younger clients, we have more at the top, less at the bottom. I mean, does that make sense?
Yes. Perfect sense. You know? And yeah, everybody that we sit down with, it's one-on-one, it's individual, it's no one size fits all. It is personalized. So
yeah, there's no cookie cutter.
Yeah. And the other thing that needs to take place with this, when you're asking your investment advisor or somebody you're thinking about hiring as an investment or financial advisor is, you know, when you ask them, what is your investment philosophy, are they able to articulate this, or are they, mm-hmm. you know, are they just all over the place? And, you know, there are folks out there that are value investors, there are mm-hmm. growth investors, and, mm-hmm. you know, and they follow that discipline, and you really need both. And that's something has been proven over and over.
Well, in part of the philosophy comes in, and I know when people come in to see us, Bob, sometimes they're taken back a little bit because of all the different questions we ask. Right. And they're like, well, why do you want to know that? Well, this is your whole financial house we're looking at. Right. I'm not looking at just, I'm going to take these dollars, put them out here and invest them, and I'm going to aim for X return. No, I want to know about you. What are your goals? Right. What are your desires? Do you want to take trips? If you want to take trips, how much do you normally spend on a trip? What are you looking at in the future? Do you think you're going to downsize? Is there a possible inheritance in the future? Or what are the things that make up everything? Because then we go back to my favorite four-letter word. You got to have a plan.
Right.
And that shapes the investment philosophy.
Right.
Not just the fact finder and just the, you know, what you did on the risk profile. It all goes together.
Right. And how many times do we have an individual or possibly a couple come in and they are so well prepared, and, you know, they've got their statements, their tax return, they've got their estate planning documents, mm-hmm. They bring everything in and they say, this is what I've got. Tell me what I need to do. We're like, whoa, let's pump the brakes.
Yeah.
Okay. What are your objectives? What are your goals? Mm-hmm. I think they're always surprised mm-hmm. at the qualitative questions that we ask them. And it really drives down to where they need to be and what direction we need to head. But, there's so many other things in the numbers, right?
Well, there truly is. And, you know, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Winning with Mainstay and Annalee and Bob, and we're talking about questions that you should address to a potential advisor that you're talking to. And, you know, I think a lot of our people, as Bob was saying, they're taken aback, because the first time you come to visit with us, the first hour, hour and a half, guess who does 90% of the talking?
Yeah.
The client does, mm-hmm. not us, because this is where I got to find out what direction we want to go in. You know, and it's amazing sometimes you'll ask someone, well, tell me a little bit about you. Why are you here? What can I do to serve you? And they'll be like, well, you know, I don't know. And you let them start talking a little bit. And when the gates open up, they just go on and on and on, because they've never verbalized those things before to anyone. And it's amazing to just listen. I listen and take notes like a machine, you know.
Yes.
But it's a great way to do this job, this mission, because it's not about Bob, it's not about Annalie, it's about you.
Right, right.
The investor.
And it's great to have the statements. You know, all of the numbers, what you have done, and, you know, and where you've been.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, tell us about you, your feelings, where you want to be and when, and we can help you get there.
Yeah. And I tell everybody, you know, when you come in for the second visit, you're going to watch TV, and it's like that old program my grandmother used to love, This Is Your Life. Mm-hmm. But this is your life in numbers.
Right.
So we're looking very closely at numbers, and we're including the tax rates in there, and we're pulling together projections, and we're doing what ifs. You know, what if you need a new roof 10 years from now? How often do you normally buy an automobile? And you've got to build all those things in to the projections, because if you don't, how do you know if you have a chance to succeed or not? You don't know.
Absolutely.
You don't know. So, you know, call us, call the office, 437-3127. Kristen would love to set up a time for you to come in and speak to us. She'll tell you what you need to bring. We'd love to sit down and just talk to you. It doesn't cost you anything to come in and find out if we can help you or not. And today, if you've got a question, call us or text us at 437-1620. I love to answer questions, and if I don't have an answer, I guarantee you I will find one, and I'll answer it next week, because nobody knows everything.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
People sometimes think I should, but I don't. Yeah.
Well, you came close.
Oh, gosh, thank you. So where do you want to go from here, Mr. Bob?
Okay, next. Again, we're talking about questions to ask your financial advisor, or if you're looking for a financial advisor. Mm-hmm. What credentials do you have?
Mm-hmm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
important. That's very important. I think we were talking about this last week, Ruthie, and it's something I looked up before I came in here. There are actually, and let me ask you, Annalie, how many mm-hmm. professional designations are there in our industry?
Probably about 4,552.
Well,
I kid you not, because
it's
they're
hundreds.
Always coming up with something.
It's
yeah.
hundreds. It's hundreds. And
yeah.
And I told the story. I'll tell it again. And you've had this happen to you throughout the years.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get a letter. It's very nice. It has some very official looking designation on it, maybe a coat of arms. It's very mm-hmm. nice. And, you know, the mm-hmm. letterhead is there, and they'll say, you know, this is a professional designation, and it's called something or other. I remember one specifically, and I almost bit, but the letter said that because of my years of experience and my other professional designations and, you know, degrees or whatever, that I could just wave in without taking a test or going through any training. But, you know, pay us, excuse me, like $300, you know, and then you'll need to
pay
this.
Right, give me money and I'll give you a designation. And, I love it.
Yeah.
Ruthie, so wait. We got a question, Bob, from Ruthie.
Oh, okay.
Let's see what that is.
Go
ahead, baby.
Yes, thank you so much. We have a call coming in from Sue in Gulf Breeze. And Sue, thank you so much for giving us a call. Go right ahead. You're on Winning with Anna Lee.
Hi, Sue.
Okay. Hi. Anna Lee, have you ever heard of a ladybird document?
Yes.
And that is something about my home. If something happens to me, they can't, I don't know, I can't remember. Somebody told me about a ladybird document and I wouldn't have to pay anything with my beneficiaries. I wouldn't have to pay any taxes on it if there's a ladybird document.
Well, the main purpose of a ladybird document is to pass the house on to your heirs without them having to go through probate. You see, the tax situation, they get a step up in basis anyway. So we really don't have to worry a lot about that. But the ladybird deed basically says, and Bob, correct me if I'm wrong on this, because Bob, in his first profession, was an estate attorney, and he still keeps that license active. But the ladybird deed basically just says that if you pass away, the named person, the person that you name, has a right to live in that house as long as they so desire, or sell that house and then either keep the proceeds or split the proceeds among other heirs. So it just is a way of avoiding probate. Isn't that right, Bob?
Yeah.
It's just about all it's for.
Right. And What we've seen over the years is a lot of times people will say, well, you know, I'll avoid probate. And let's say it's a single person or possibly a widower, and you don't own the home jointly with anyone. And somebody will say, well, I'll just put my child on it with me. Well, that's a bad idea from a liability standpoint, because anything that happens, anything can happen to anybody as far as getting sued. And the thing about joint ownership is each party jointly owns 100% of it. And that sounds like 200%. Uh-huh. But a joint asset can be completely attached to any judgment. And in lieu of doing that, a ladybird deed accomplishes the same thing. It doesn't have to go through probate. But this is where we need to say, go see your attorney, hopefully an estate planning attorney. We have a few that we work with that we are very fond of, but you're probably, this is an estate planning issue and ought to be handled accordingly. But
okay.
And one other thing, we talked about this, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Ruthie, when we were talking about federal estate taxes and probate. So many people confuse the two, or they think it's the same thing, probate and subject to federal estate taxes. Probate has got a really bad name. It's not the worst thing in the world. It just means that it does go through probate, but it's one asset going through probate. It doesn't mean escaping probate does not mean it escapes anything else. So it's it has a very specific use, but again, go see, meet with an estate planning
attorney. And what you might
go ahead,
Sue. No, what I was going to say to you was, Kathleen DeMaria, excellent estate planning attorney. Kristen Marks,
that's
excellent.
Who I went to for my will.
Okay, and
that's who
Kristen,
I went to for my will.
Well, you're in good hands.
Good. So you're in good hands, and if it's something that you need or you want to talk more deeply about and see if it should fit into your estate planning, go back and talk to Kristen. What we always do, and I think that's part of when you're talking to an advisor and hiring one, one of the questions you should probably ask them is, what kind of team of people do you surround yourself with? So we have very specific attorneys we work with. We have very specific tax people we work with. We have very specific people we work with to do Medicare and long-term care. Because anyone who tries to tell you in today's world that they can do all of those things is probably not doing any of them efficiently. So you want your person to be an expert in what they do, but have a team of experts that they can refer you to. And that's what Bob is saying on this particular thing, to say whether you need it or not. That's where your financial advisor and your attorney should be talking together to see if it's needed for you or not. Make sense?
I understand. Yes.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye, sweetie. So, you know, and those are the kind of questions you need to ask us. It's when you're thinking of them, I don't care if the show's about them or not. Call us while you're having a question, because if not, especially those of us who tend to be more mature, you'll forget it by next week, unless you write it down. Okay.
That's right.
So call us with your question and let us know what's going on in your brain. That's what we're here for.
Right.
We want to serve you. We want to be of help to you in the areas that you have questions on right now. Okay. So how to pick out a financial advisor.
We just talked about, you know, credentials, professional designations, and certainly those are important. And there's really three areas that fall under what I would call qualifications. And the first one we just went over, professional designations. The second one is education. And the third one would be, of course, and I think this is the most important, years of experience. And how long you've done this? Are you, you know, did you change careers? You know, I don't know. But I think years of experience is important, and we don't even want to.
I think that one right now is one of the most important ones, because we've just gone through 10 years of very much of a bull market.
Right.
So you've got younger advisors out there that have never gone through a fall, or should we call it a correction? I think that's the proper terminology.
Right.
And you know, people, the bear market's coming. It's reared its head a few times this year, and when it has really come across with a roar. And you know, we've got to have corrections. We've got to even out. So you want somebody who's been through these before that can guide you through what's happening. I think when this bear market does rear its head, I think we're going to lose a lot of these young advisors that are out there who've never experienced it, because I think it's going to be a very volatile one when it hits.
Right, and that's one of the that's one of the main thrusts of this area, the years of experience, because what other industry could you possibly go into where you've got 10 years of experience, but you've never seen anything, you know, that you need to have seen, you know, like a correction, a sustained correction?
Well, it would be like a doctor who never saw anyone who was sick.
Right. Right.
I mean, no.
Right.
Yeah, I got a great doctor.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
he only sees well patients.
I only see people. Yeah, I like that. That's a great analogy.
Yeah,
that is a great analogy. It's all good.
I mean, think about that. Yeah, you know, life is great.
They're living in an alternate universe. You know, it's I only see healthy people, and you know, I've got a great job. Like it.
I got a great job. I don't give out any drugs. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. So you want to know that, and I think your people who came up like I did from the bottom and actually started all this doing life insurance and health insurance, and then I added Medicare supplements, and then I added on annuities. So people go out, say please, say thank you, compliment people on doing a good job. Let's please make it a wonderful world. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.